Hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of Anthology, presented by ObsessiveViewer.com. I'm your host, Matt Hurt, and if this is your first time listening, Anthology is one man's examination of The Twilight Zone as a first-time viewer. Each podcast, I share my first impressions, analysis, and overall thoughts on Rod Serling's iconic series one episode at a time. However, in this bonus episode review series, I will be reviewing the fifth season of the technophobic sci-fi anthology series Black Mirror, created by Charlie Brooker and produced by Brooker and Annabelle Jones. You can find more of Anthology as well as a full episode archive at anthologypod.com. And if you want to contact me, you can use the Facebook page at facebook.com/anthologypod, tweet me at @OVAnthologyPod, or send an email to matt@obsessiveviewer.com. If you like what you hear and want to support the show financially, you can go to patreon.com/obsessiveviewer, where at the minimum rate of $1 per month, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed with content recorded specifically for Patreon supporters. Again, that's patreon.com/obsessiveviewer. And minimum rate of $1 per month gets you access to that RSS feed. So today on the show, I'm going to be discussing Rachel Jack and Ashley 2. It's the third and final episode of Black Mirror's fifth season that premiered on Netflix back on June 5th, 2019. As I have in the past, bonus reviews of the show, I've referenced Entertainment Weekly had a series of articles post on June 5th of last year when the show premiered that had interviews with Annabelle Jones and Charlie Brooker about each episode individually. And this article was about Miley Cyrus and the episode Rachel Jack and Ashley 2. And I have a couple of bits that I'm going to reference in this interview. But I'll put a link to the full interview in the show notes of the episode, of course. And fair warning, I'm going to be spoiling Rachel Jack and Ashley 2 right from the outset. So if you haven't watched this episode and you're expecting a non-spoiler review, please turn off the episode and watch it and then come back and listen to the review. So the Entertainment Weekly article has some pretty cool stuff. The interviewer asked them about the comparison to Twilight Zone's episode Living Doll. The question was, at first I thought this was going to be the Black Mirror version of Twilight Zone's Living Doll, but then it went a more interesting and fun direction, almost like one of those after-school kids shows. I have expected the evil aunt to somehow be literally unmasked at the end. And Brooker's response to that was, it's funny you say that. At one point I proposed her face should fall off and show all sorts of circuits and cogs. I said she should disappear in a puff of smoke. I was down for that. I think she almost does that because she looks down the lens and acknowledges the viewer. That's as close as we get. It's a good interview. Go ahead and check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes, of course.
The reason I'm here is to introduce to you Ashley 2.
We are friends!
It's really important to be who you want to be.
Hey there, I'm Ashley 2. It's so great to meet you, Rachel.
You too.
I'll be here for you.
She doesn't understand how fragile all this is.
Do you think I should up the dose?
Malcolm dead.
Believe in yourself.
It's getting so hard to keep doing this.
Believe in yourself.
Ashley?
Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
No! Get the cable out of my ass! Holy shit! Pull it out! Oh, God, that's a relief.
We are friends!
So, Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2, let's just dive right in. The plot summary, courtesy of IMDb, is a lonely teenager yearns to connect with her favorite pop star whose charmed existence isn't quite as rosy as it appears. The talent rundown for this episode is Miley Cyrus as Ashley O. Of course, she's famous for being a pop star and being Hannah Montana and a bunch of other stuff. Angouri Rice plays Rachel Goggins. She appeared in both Spider-Man Far From Home and Spider-Man Homecoming as Betty Brant, and she, I think, got kind of a breakout role in 2016's The Nice Guys, which, man, that movie's a lot of fun. And then rounding out the cast, but as Jack Goggins is Madison Davenport. She was in Sharp Objects on HBO, From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, and had some recurring role on Shameless, I believe. And rounding out the cast as Catherine is Susan Porfar. She appeared in Manchester by the Sea and several episodes of Scandal, The Sinner, and House of Cards. And she will be in the Lin-Manuel Miranda movie In the Heights whenever that is released because of COVID. But yeah, so that's the cast. Writer for this episode was Charlie Brooker, and director was Ann Suwitsky, who went on to direct two episodes of Castle Rock Season 2, Ties the Bind and The Laughing Place. Feel free to check out Tower Junkies at TowerJunkiesPod.com, where me and Tiny are reviewing Castle Rock Season 2. So that's the talent rundown for Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. So my initial thoughts, I had tweeted after I watched this episode for the first time back in June of last year. My tweet was, just finished Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. It may be the weakest in terms of story for me, but it also has the most interesting / entertaining use of technology this season. Some of the drama between the sisters was a little iffy, but it came together well enough in the end. Fun ep. And so I kind of had that in the back of my mind as I was revisiting it for this review, and I stand by that tweet pretty well, I think. My opinion didn't change that much. I do feel like the ending wasn't quite as satisfactory as I would have hoped, but I'll get to that in the review here in a bit. But let's start at the beginning. So the episode starts out by showing us the isolation that Rachel feels in school. She doesn't have any friends. She's kind of obsessed with her phone, watching videos of Ashley O. And I really feel like the episode does a good job of showing how lonely she is, and that sense of isolation and that kind of teenage insecurities and everything. Like when she sees the sign for the talent show, she is asked if she's going to enter, and then she just runs away without response. It just showcases how lonely and isolated she is and how insecure she is in terms of social dynamics and social awkwardness. And so after that, we see her in the van with her dad and Jack, and their dad says something interesting before Rachel puts the earbuds in. He says that Rachel's still the new girl, and I kind of get the sense that that's meant to infer that they moved sometime after the mother's death, and that even though it was like 2 years ago, but I get the sense that maybe they move around a lot or something, and that's why she has trouble connecting with her peers. I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but the whole mousetrap plot device is pretty lackluster to me. It doesn't really do much for me. Like Jack references that he's more concerned with his revolutionary mousetrap thing than he is with, you know, his daughters. And I don't know, it's kind of comical, but really the only reason why that plot device is there is for the taser at the end of the episode and to get the limiter deleted off of Ashley 2, which is, it's fine. I mean, it's good for the plot. It's organic enough, I guess, but as a plot device itself, it doesn't really work for me that well. So back home, we see the music video of Ashley O. So the song is On a Roll, and I forgot how much of an earworm this is, so this song is going to be stuck in my head for a while, and I kind of hate it for it, but I will say that it is a much, much better song than that stupid campaign song from the first season of The Twilight Zone on CBS All Access. So I'll pick my battles there. Nice little Easter egg there is that the music video was directed by Ann Suwitsky, who is the director for this episode as well. We get a shot or a scene of the interview on TV with Ashley O, and this is where it's revealed that Ashley's music comes to her in dreams. And I feel like that's an interesting concept, and that's an interesting kind of seed to plant for the episode, because it does go to a darker place later on in the episode, of course. But just the idea of her dreaming the music and then extracting that is an interesting one to explore in this episode, and I do appreciate it for that. So that's the unveiling of Ashley 2 as a product, and Rachel desperately wants the Ashley 2 as a product and everything. She wants to own an Ashley 2. And the actual product itself, like the design, I mean, it's kind of adorable, to be honest. It's kind of nice. And I will say I know I've said this before, and it's been kind of a, I don't know if I'd say point of contention for me in the series, as I've gone through these reviews and everything, but the idea of the idea of recycling technology throughout episodes. Like, there's a lot of just similarities between the technology that's been displayed in Black Mirror throughout its entire run. And I mean, that's fine. It's okay. But I've been on record as wanting something fresh and unique. And we kind of get that with Ashley too. It is kind of just another application of Black Mirror's whole cookie concept. It's a little more lighthearted than that and not as depraved or anything. But it is at its heart another application of that type of technology. But I will say that at least this is an interesting use of it. It's interesting and unique in and of itself and doesn't make it feel like it's a redundant use of the technology that we've seen in past episodes. So I do appreciate it for that. And I do like how it is an interesting reflection of the virtual assistants that we have in our lives now, like the different products from Amazon and Google, I'll say, because I have one, and if I say the name, it'll wake up. So the product is released and everything, and I like that Jack has this immediate dismissal of it as just being childish and silly and ridiculous. And it kind of seeds this idea that she's, you know, against it, essentially. But we'll get back to that. So after the interview with Ashley, we see a shot of her in the car where Catherine is going through the social media or going through the pics to find one to post on social media. And it really shows that Ashley is just very disinterested in the pop star lifestyle and everything. And honestly, I kind of wish the episode explored this dynamic a little bit more, but at the same time, what we get is pretty satisfying enough in and of itself. And it's also juggling like two different storylines with Ashley and Catherine and with Rachel and Jack. So it's a lot to juggle and everything. So I'm happy with what we got. So we get Ashley in the green room getting ready for a performance and everything. And she's writing these lyrics in her notebook. She's scribbling them down. They're very like, we get a peek of it and it's very animated in terms of the handwriting and everything. It's very much clear that it's kind of a darker kind of material than what she's known for. And I like what this episode says. And in that case, I like what this episode says about artistic expression and the business of the music industry. Like, even without Catherine and her domineering presence and everything, there's a really interesting space, or there's a really interesting concept or theme to mine for plot in this episode, in that it's about an artist who is known for something and is popular for something and wants to do something else. And it's really interesting to see that kind of struggle arise within Ashley and Catherine. And then, so as the episode is going on, we flash back or switch back over to Rachel and Jack. And the overall conflict between Rachel and Jack is interesting in and of itself. I also wish this was explored a bit more. Like, it's kind of presumed that they have different ways. I appreciate the way that it showcases the different ways that they deal with their mother's death. Like, Rachel finds companionship and identity in Ashley 2 and her Ashley fandom, whereas Jack tries to play the guitar and listens to the music their mother liked. It's a cool, like, kind of juxtaposition between the two girls in showing how they process their grief and how they process their mother's death and everything. It's a cool way to show the difference in their ages as well. And really, at this point, I really thought that the episode was going to go into this jealousy theme where I kind of assumed that Jack was going to accidentally bond with Ashley too and cause Rachel to be jealous of that bond and everything and feel like she's lost everything. But I'm fine with the more lighthearted way that the episode plays out. I just think that that could have been an interesting avenue to take if this was going to be a conventionally dark Black Mirror episode, which it wasn't. So I'm fine with how it ended up. So we get a lot of scenes with Rachel and Ashley 2 bonding, essentially. And Angourie Rice does a really good job of tapping into her character's awkwardness and loneliness as she's bonding with Ashley 2. And I also like that the persona of Ashley 2 is this constant source of positivity and support. And that's in direct contrast to the real Ashley and Ashley 2 without the limiter on her. It's a really good commentary on fandom and idolization of celebrities. Like, we see celebrities on TV and in interviews and movies and TV and all the stuff, we see a version of a celebrity and like their social media and everything. We see a version of them that's carefully tailored to reach their audience and, you know, generate revenue essentially. And it's rare that we see a celebrity for who they are and like their real persona and everything. So I kind of like how this episode kind of plays with that theme and plays with that kind of dichotomy between two versions of the same person. So we get a scene where Catherine is talking to kind of, the doctor and, the bodyguard and the engineer guy, I guess, the whole team. And I just want to mention that Dr. Monk is played by an actor that appeared in the Dark Tower movie. He wasn't great in that movie, but he does a fine enough job in this, but the Dark Tower movie was garbage and I'm sad every day about it. We kind of get hints that Catherine and her team are plotting against Ashley in some way. We don't know enough information yet, but it is on the table that there's something going on behind the scenes. To maximize the profitability of Ashley at her expense. So we get more stuff with Rachel and Ashley too. Rachel is dancing and gaining encouragement from Ashley too. And it's really kind of sweet. But I do like the kind of, maybe not dark overt, implication of the makeover, but Rachel does a makeover that with Ashley 2's assistance, where Ashley 2 kind of makes her look like Ashley. And it's an interesting view of the kind of fallacy of AI in this scenario. Like, it's not perfected. This AI is not 100%. It's just 100% Ashley with a limiter on her. So, like, it's not the companionship that Rachel needs because it's not really a real person. And I kind of wish that the episode would have delved into that a little bit more. But then again, Black Mirror has kind of dealt with that theme, in the past, probably to better effect, actually, than it could have here. I'm thinking of, like, Be Right Back, and, Be Right Back. So, then we get Ashley O's trying out a new look in the green room. It's kind of interesting that the juxtaposition of Rachel having a makeover for her talent show and Ashley is in her green room doing a different kind of look for her makeup and everything. And so again, I'm really into this part of the story, like an artist fighting to get her voice out, but shackled by this corporate and greedy machine. It's just really compelling to me. And I really like the line where, Ashley says, when Catherine comes in and says something about there being a problem with the wardrobe that Ashley has a problem with the wardrobe. Ashley says, it feels like I'm wearing someone else's skin. And I thought that was a really good line. And that really hammers down the hope hammers down the point of Ashley's character and the situation that she's in. So at the talent show, the dad's interest in the mousetraps, it's, at this point, it gets a little repetitive. He's more concerned about it than he is with parenting. He's talking to the janitor outside while his daughter is performing. It's a rich enough subplot, I guess, but the episode just doesn't do anything with it. I'm talking about the mousetraps in general. The kind of recurrence of the dad trying to pitch it to different people is just, I don't know, kind of, it's played for comedy, but it doesn't really work that well for me. It's, like I said, it's a little too repetitive for me. But then again, to kind of play devil's advocate about the dad's subplot and everything, maybe his absence and his kind of absent-mindedness is meant to strengthen the bond of Rachel and Jack. I can kind of see that being a point because even though Jack can't stand the Ashley stuff, she still cares about Rachel. Like when she's watching her sister dance on stage, and when Rachel messes up on stage, Rachel is clearly like scared for her and worried about her. But then in the car, Rachel says that she let Ashley 2 down, and Jack clearly disapproves. And that's kind of the sticking point of it. Jack is coming from a place where she feels that her sister is taking too much, is taking the toys' feelings too much to heart. And then we get kind of a flash over to Monk and Bear bringing Catherine the meds and the lyric notebook that Ashley had hidden and everything. And it's interesting. This is an interesting juxtaposition. Like, throughout the episode, there's an interesting kind of side-by-side comparison to draw. So here we have Monk and Bear bringing Catherine the medicine and the lyric notebook that Ashley has been hiding, whereas then we're switched over to Jack hiding Ashley 2 from Rachel. So it's two situations where the two kind of leads of the episode, Rachel and Ashley, are being kind of not controlled per se, but they are being their own opinion and their own, like, happiness is secondary to what someone in their life thinks is best for them. And in the case of Ashley, it's what's best for Catherine. Catherine is very much close-minded and very much narcissistic in her treatment of Ashley, and it's very much all about her. But it's just an interesting juxtaposition that we have two characters, Ashley and Rachel, who are being somewhat controlled and dictated to by people in their lives without their kind of consent or their knowledge. And also just the point of Jack hiding Ashley 2 in the attic, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Archangel. Probably not intentional by any stretch, but just the idea of hiding it in the attic is kind of an interesting similarity or coincidence. So when Rachel comes home and finds that Ashley 2 is missing, Jack says that she threw her away. And the dumpster came by, or the garbage truck came by, and she threw it out. It's a good emotional beat. Like, that, the fight that ensues between Rachel and Jack hits pretty hard. Like, Jack doesn't talk to Rachel. Rachel tells Jack that she doesn't even talk to her ever since their mom died. And Rachel thinks that Jack is jealous. And maybe she is a little bit, because through Ashley 2, Rachel is getting to a better place emotionally, whereas Jack is still in that grief mode and not finding that comfort that her sister is finding in a piece of merchandise, essentially. But I think that overall the real rift is in how much they've drifted apart as sisters. And that's something that isn't really handled that thoroughly in this episode. But what we get, like, in this scene is good enough to kind of have a lasting effect. I appreciated that characterization and think that it landed pretty well. So then we have a turning point in the episode where Catherine and Ashley have dinner together. And this is the scene where Catherine poisons Ashley, or puts her in a coma, essentially, with the medicine that she had been stockpiling. And like I said, it's a turning point for the episode because Catherine confronts her about the notebook and the medicine. And, like, what I love about that, or what I find really fascinating about that, is that her response, Catherine's response when she's confronting her, is to say, what was the plan to OD to make me look bad? It just shows just how evil and selfish Catherine is. Like, everything that Catherine has and everything that's been built has been built off of Ashley's talent and marketability and everything. But Catherine is still so self-centered and selfish and everything that she views it as her own creation and everything. She's treating Ashley as an object that is like a revenue stream for her. And what I really like in the scene is the strength that Ashley demonstrates. So Miley Cyrus, I think, does a great job in the scene, because Ashley is not as tied down to Catherine as we would assume she is and what Catherine assumes she is. She's her own individual person, and she's standing up to her, and, like, she's very confident about how she's going to take down Catherine and how she has everything and everything. And it's just really satisfying and everything. It's too bad that she's drugged in that moment and she's put into a coma. It's sad. So immediately after that, we get the mousetrap demonstration scene, and that feels a little bit out of place. Like, it's not, like I said, this whole subplot is only serving a purpose to bring it up in the end of the episode and have it be kind of a method for the girls to rescue Ashley and everything. Like, that's all there is to it. And it recurs throughout the episode, and it just feels out of place and just not that interesting. The actual product that he is workshopping and everything it's basically a mouse hunting Roomba taser. And it's fine. It's fine. Whatever. It's just setting up the end of the episode and whatever. That's fine. But this scene does break the news of Ashley's coma, and we see the kind of look of despair on Rachel's face and the look of concern on Jack's. And it's kind of a nice, moment where the rift between them is kind of, repaired slightly, just slightly, as we'll see here in a second. But at this point, we're halfway through the episode, and I don't know. It just really feels like this episode is moving at a much longer pace than other episodes in the series. It just, it doesn't really have that momentum that like Smithereens or, Striking Vipers had or anything. It's just, it feels very much just set piece, not set piece, but setting up the situation and setting up this adventure kind of thing that's going to kick off in the second half of the episode. It just kind of feels a little bit meandering at this point. So at this point, Jack recognizes that Rachel needs Ashley too, after the news of about Ashley's coma. And I think that's sweet. It's sweet that Jack recognizes that her sister is in need. So she gets Ashley too out from the attic, and understandably, Rachel is pretty pissed at her. And then we get a scene where, like, she's ignoring Jack, but then Ashley, too, also doesn't have the same effect as it had before in light of real Ashley's coma. It's just, it's kind of a touch of despair in the episode, as the characters are kind of at their lowest points. And Rachel ignores Jack when Jack tries to apologize. And then we get, you know, it jumps over to the Ashley storyline where Catherine and her team are having Ashley in an MRI and body scanning her and everything. This is where we learn that Catherine is going to mine Ashley's mind for songs. And that is really disturbing, considering that, I mean, she put her in a coma and everything. It's just, it's really villainous and evil. So then we get a time jump to 6 months later, and, my notes are ridiculous. Great shot of a kitty walking in a residential street. And then I have a bullet point that says good kitty, because after the 6 months later, moniker, like, we get a shot of the residential street and a cat just walking along. I kind of wonder where that shot came from. Like, I would be shocked if it was scripted, because I don't know what purpose it would serve, but it's a cool shot to bring us into the time jump, of 6 months later. And we see that in that 6 months, Rachel is still pretty withdrawn. Like, she's still not really speaking with Jack, and Jack is making an effort to try to help her out. Jack references that their dad left them ice cream that's good for the whole week. So it's presumed that he's out of town for some reason. That's all the information we really need. It doesn't really matter. But Jack is trying to make an effort to get Rachel to feel better, but she's kind of just in her own world and in despair. So the TV's playing, and Rachel puts in earbuds, and the TV is reporting on Ashley O, and it says the phrase, Ashley, wake up, which wakes up Ashley too. And so this was a really cool scene, I thought. It was really interesting to see Ashley too watch the news recap, and as she's watching it, she starts to flip out and everything. I like that as a concept and as a launching point for the last act of the episode. I thought it was pretty cool. So the news reveals that they're extracting music from Ashley while she's in a coma, and I think that's what sets Ashley 2 off. So the girls use their dad's equipment and accidentally give Ashley sentience. And that's kind of clever. Ashley 2's reaction when the limiter is deleted is just comedy gold, like just freaking out about the cord in her ass. Really, really funny, really funny bit. And I will say that the vocal performance of Miley Cyrus once the limiter is deleted from Ashley 2 is just fantastic. She does a really great job in the vocal performance there. So then it goes back to Catherine, and we get a peek at Ashley Eternal. We don't have the information yet of what it is, but we can kind of infer from the title what exactly is going to happen with Ashley Eternal. And I really find that to be an interesting and disturbing concept. Like, it's something that's happening gradually, in our modern age and everything. Like, we have holograms, of artists and everything. And then, like, there was a report, like about a year or two ago about how they want to digitally recreate, James Dean and put him in a movie or something. And, like, that's ridiculous and crazy. So this stuff has precedence, and it's really interesting to see it kind of play out in this episode. And I'll get more to that, more on that later when we get to the stadium in the episode. But I really like in this scene where another kind of interesting aspect of it is that they're taking the music from Ashley in a coma, her mind. And it's like kind of, I don't know, hardcore music that's coming out of her. And then the way that we go through and they popify the music coming out of Ashley's mind is really cool. And it further muddies this artist's creativity aspect of the episode. It makes it so the artist doesn't have creative control or anything. And like, I really like that Ashley, while she's in a coma, responds to this. And there's that beeping noise after that, because it is pretty heinous and it's pretty disturbing. So Ashley too is now hilarious. She's very vulgar, very outspoken. And I just think that this moment where she's planning to go and get the evidence against Catherine and save the day for Ashley, I think that has some really good comedy beats. Like when she falls off of the table and she struggles to get up. And then when she's talking about how, you know, fans are all the same. They tell you that they love you. And then the second that you ask for something, they can't do anything. They're completely useless and everything. And then she pinpoints that, or she puts a button on that by saying, "Can you open the door for me?" I just really appreciated that. So this is the point where the episode kind of kicks into gear in its final act. It becomes an adventure movie, kind of like almost like a teen adventure movie. They take their dad's van to Ashley's, and that again shifts the episode into a kind of joyride adventure story. And I'm kind of all for it. I thought it was pretty fun in the moment. It was a fun evolution of the story and everything. And it was something that you don't see in a Black Mirror episode that often, if ever, that I can think of off the top of my head. So it's really cool. When they get to Ashley's house, they infiltrate it by posing as exterminators. And that's fun. It's awkward as all hell. Like the scenes with Jack and Bear, it feels like a little bit forced and a little bit, I don't know, clunky. It didn't really work for me all that well, but I did appreciate the effort, I would say. And the payoff of the taser, fine. That was fine. When we get to Ashley's room, Ashley 2, like I have in my notes, is technically it's a suicide mission for Ashley 2. And I like the emoting that's on the Ashley 2 device. Like when she, like right before she pulls the plug, she has this look of fierce determination and anger, and she goes and pulls the plug. It's really interesting to see a product essentially emote. So they pull the plug, and it's presumed that Ashley's dead. And Rachel standing over Ashley's bed is pretty sad. Like she's really upset because she idolizes Ashley, and it's really kind of a pretty sincere and heartfelt moment. And then Ashley wakes up with a gasp and the restraints come in and everything. And I love the kind of comedy beat where Ashley just says, or I'm sorry, Rachel just says, "Oh my gosh, I'm such a huge fan." Like she has no other words that she can say. It's really interesting. So then Dr. Monk comes in, the girls incapacitate him. It's fine or whatever. So the three of them and Ashley too escape. And now they have to stop Catherine, and it turns into a high-speed chase to get to the stadium. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. I do like them when it switches over to the stadium, when Catherine walks onto the stage, the part of the song where it says, "I'm going to get what I deserve." Like it repeats that a couple of times. I thought that was pretty, I don't know. That was cute. Because obviously Catherine is going to get what she deserves. So then we get the presentation of Ashley Eternal, and the way that Catherine sells it is actually pretty appealing and pretty interesting to me. I like that this episode becomes a preventative episode of the dark technology breakthrough. Like this is all instead of it's a bit refreshing, since this episode isn't about characters reacting to dark technology like so many other episodes of Black Mirror are. This is them preventing it. This is the preventative episode in terms of the dark technology. And I think that's a refreshing take. But the actual concept of Ashley Eternal is kind of fascinating. Like this idea of a photorealistic, although the demonstration didn't really seem that photorealistic, but whatever. Being able to simultaneously, conduct a nationwide tour, immortalizing a comatose artist. Like the implications are interesting and disturbing. And I kind of wish that while on one hand, I do like that it's a preventative episode, I kind of would like to see this concept explored to its full potential. It never will, because I think that they did a fine enough job here. But in an alternate universe, I think it would be kind of interesting to see. So the race to the stadium is fun. It's just a fun thing. Like there are little quips, like Rachel saying, like, oh, this is amazing, and Jack saying, I'm never going to get my license when the cop starts chasing them. It's cute. It's fun. It's a fun adventure movie at this, or a fun adventure episode at that point. And then we get the kind of big moment at the end. The van stops at the stadium, and Ashley gets out of the van, and Catherine sees her, and that's a really cool kind of way to end it. Although the actual ending and everything else about it is a little lackluster for me. I kind of wish that there was more of a kind of final, conclusion or argument of some kind between Ashley and Catherine. But then again, I guess the dinner scene was their big climactic fight, so we don't really need it because it would have been redundant. But it, even still, it doesn't, like, this ending doesn't really hit as hard as other episodes of the show has. And I can't really compare it to other episodes because that wouldn't necessarily be fair, but it just lacked a certain punch that I just didn't get out of this episode. And as much as I enjoy the tone and the lighthearted nature of the episode, it just overall, the ending just didn't do it for me. But then we get the credit sequence that I feel like is a nice button on the episode. We get the Pock Runk version of Ashley O. Sign on the bar outside is Ashley fucking O, which I thought was, I love that. It's a good postscript to the episode. And having Jack in the band is a nice touch as well. And I really like the last shot of the Ashley O fans leaving the bar in disgust. That was pretty clever and pretty fun, because it just shows that she has grown as an artist and everything. Finally, their dad pitching the mousetrap to the bartender is kind of bland. Again, it's repetitive. We didn't need that final scene of that, but whatever. I digress. It isn't necessarily that bad. So that's my review of Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. Pretty solid episode. I do feel like it, as a last episode of a season, even though the season was only 3 episodes, I feel like it wasn't that strong. The tonal shifts were pretty unique for Black Mirror. But honestly, I watched this episode the first time back in June of 2019, I mean, until I've rewatched it today, I hadn't really thought much about it. Take what you will from that. I would like to see Black Mirror do more unique change-ups like that. Like, this season as a whole was pretty interesting because we got the kind of conventional, character-based, kind of intimate, technophobic episode in Striking Vipers. And then we got a completely technology, like, absent episode in Smithereens that's more grounded in reality. And then here we have this weird amalgam of technophobia and intrigue and deception and fun, like, teen adventure, in Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. So it's an interesting kind of mix of 3 episodes and everything. I would be up for them to do another season like this, structured like this, having 3 distinct episodes, that each have their own kind of tone and elements of surprise to them. Who knows when we'll see that? I don't know. Like I said in my last bonus review, Charlie Brooker did say that he doesn't think that the world needs Black Mirror season 6 yet. So maybe eventually when things calm down, hopefully calm down, he'll get back to writing Black Mirror. So that's my review. And I'm going to go ahead and round out the episode with some trivia. So there's a bunch of, as it is with common with Black Mirror, there's a bunch of Easter eggs to Black Mirror lore. The news ticker, when they're watching the news about Ashley in a coma, is says architect arrested on multiple murder charges, which is a reference to the episode Crocodile from season 4. And it also says narrative creator still missing, which is a reference to actually, you know, that's interesting. That could either be a reference to Bandersnatch or a reference to USS Callister. Yeah, I don't know, probably Bandersnatch. But anyway, another news ticker says Saito Gemu shares jump on... Oh, okay. Saito Gemu shares jump on Striking Vipers release, which is a reference to Striking Vipers and playtest. And then also the other thing says museum owner's body found in smoking ruins, which is a reference to Black Museum. And so one of the songs that Ashley sings, kind of, I think it's overheard in the news segment, is Anyone Who Knows What Love Is by Irma Thomas, which is, of course, a recurring song in the show, popular in 15 Million Merits, and it was used in, the military one. Oh, God, I can't remember what the episode was called. But anyway, I didn't really catch this, but I saw it online, but, when Rachel and Jack are talking in one scene, there's a commercial, on the TV that mentions the Willow Grain implant, which is the device that is used in season 1, episode 3, The Entire History of You. And, let's see. And then, so also there's another news segment that references the Sea of Tranquility getting a reboot, which is a reference to the Sea of Tranquility TV show that's referenced in Nosedive, which was also referenced in, Smithereens last time. And, other pieces of trivia. The system rebooting image on the screen when they pull the plug on Ashley is the Black Mirror logo. So that's pretty cool. And, yeah, that's really all the trivia I have. So I think that'll do it for this review, this bonus episode of Anthology. Thank you guys so much for listening. Coming up next on the podcast, on the main feed, I'm going to have an overview episode of the Twilight Zone original series season 2 with my friend Brandon Cruz from Submitted for Your Approval. So look forward to that. And then right after that, I'm going to go into my bonus episode review series of the Twilight Zone season 2 from CBS All Access. 10 episodes coming out June 25th, all at once. Going to be reviewing them episode by episode, so look forward to that starting June 25th. And once again, if you want to help support the show, check out patreon.com/obsessiveviewer and become a patron at the minimum rate of $1 per month. It gets you access to a big back catalog of nonsense recordings that we've done over at Obsessive Viewer Podcasts and recently with Anthology. So check that out at patreon.com/obsessiveviewer. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. And now, here's a short clip from our Patreon-exclusive RSS feed. To hear the full clip and more exclusive Patreon content, go to patreon.com/obsessiveviewer and become a patron at the minimum rate of $1 per month. Thank you, and enjoy. Yeah. And the thing I keep thinking of is, like, the whole idea of privilege and everything, which is kind of played out and everything, but it is kind of true, because, like, I keep thinking, like, okay, I'm in a situation where something happens where I need to call the police or something. I have no problem with that. I'll dial 911, call, report it and everything. They'll come, do that. But there are just millions of people that are like, they can't do that because they are afraid that they will either get wrongfully incarcerated for something they didn't do or murdered and everything. And that's like, that's something that's just really kind of weighed on me a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I struggled with the whole white privilege thing for a while. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to get my head around it. And like, yeah. I couldn't write it off or fully endorse it either way.
Anthology is edited and produced by Matt Hurt and presented by ObsessiveViewer.com. For a full archive of our episodes, go to anthologypod.com/archive. You can also like the Facebook page at facebook.com/anthologypod and follow the show on Twitter at OVAnthologyPod. If you enjoy the show, please take a couple minutes to leave us a rating and a quick review on Apple Podcasts. This is the easiest way to support what we do, and all it costs is a little bit of your time. If you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can make a PayPal donation at anthologypod.com/donate or support us on Patreon for recurring donations and access to commentary tracks and B-roll audio recorded exclusively for patrons at patreon.com/obsessiveviewer. Every donation goes toward paying the fees to keep the podcast running and is greatly appreciated. Official Anthology merch, including shirts, mugs, phone cases, and more, can be found in the Obsessive Viewers TeePublic store. You can find a link to the store in the show notes of this episode and at anthologypod.com/donate. Or you can simply search for Obsessive Viewer at teepublic.com. For information about the Obsessive Viewers annual live event showcasing short horror films from local filmmakers, check out shocktoberinirvington.com. And for an archive of all our events, as well as news about potential future events, head over to obsessiveviewer.com/live. For more podcast content, you can find our flagship movie and TV review and discussion show, The Obsessive Viewer Podcast, at obsessiveviewer.com, and on Twitter at obsessiveviewer. You can also find Tower Junkies, a podcast where Matt and co-host Tiny share their love of all things Stephen King and his magnum opus, The Dark Tower series, over at towerjunkiespod.com and at towerjunkiespod on Twitter. And finally, check out The Secular Perspective, Tiny's side project podcast, which tackles current events and life's big questions from the perspective of secular hosts Chad and Amanda at thesecularperspective.com. Bumper music for this podcast comes courtesy of As Good As It Gets, which can be found at facebook.com/asgoodasitgetsband. You can also find As Good As It Gets music on Spotify, Google Play, and iTunes. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.